Well, last night I told the congregation that we were going to have a standalone sermon, and I only got half done, so it became the beginning of another two-part sermon series. So we're going to start something today and finish it next week because there's just too much to say. I've had the last 2 weeks off from preaching, so I guess I'm all, you know, backed up, and I need to get some more out than what I had time for last night. But it's fun to see all the different things that we're able to do here as a church, and so I'm thrilled with that. But it's fun to get back behind the microphone and preaching on a Sunday morning. Today we are going to talk about an important topic that's timely, which is we're going to talk about the body of Christ, and I'll explain what that means here in just a minute. I wanted to call the sermon the theology of the body of Christ, but everybody said that's a terrible name, don't call it that. So then we're going to call it Better Together, which is kind of a nice, cute name. But then I think here's what we're going to actually call this: Different and United. The theology of the body of Christ, the theology of the global church that the video described is this: Different and United. So it's the Wood City Music Festival last night, you know, all day yesterday, I guess. And then there's the 11 o'clock service out at Veterans Park today, which I'll be at. I very much encourage you to come out there and be part of that, because that's a special thing. The music festival is a special thing, but the 11 o'clock service is an extra special thing, because let me tell you, for a church to say, you know what, we'll set aside our Sunday morning to do something that benefits the greater body of Christ, seems like a no-brainer, but it is a shockingly difficult thing to get to have happen. People, churches, you know, they're looking out for their own. They're worrying about budgets and just their piece of the pie and all that stuff. And it gets to be difficult. But at 11 o'clock, in an hour and 20 minutes, there is going to be a service at Veterans Park where a bunch of churches in Cloquet are going to get together and worship God united. That's a special thing. That's a real special thing. Yeah, we get the quiet clap, the golf clap back there. That's good. It's a special thing. Yeah. And I'll go through this today. We know we're supposed to be united as the body of Christ, right? We know that. Well, we don't get the opportunity to do that very often. This morning, we get the opportunity to show it. And let's say the service is just super bad. You know what I mean? Like at church, we try to have church be worth coming to. That's an important thing. Church should be worth showing up for. But this thing, I think, is worth showing up for even if the service is terrible. I think it'll be good. But even if it's terrible, it's worth showing up for because it's us coming together to be counted. It's us saying, here we are, different and united for Christ. And so this is a special day, special opportunity, and I want to talk about the theology of the body of Christ, which is different and united. One of the greatest schemes of the devil is to bring division, to get people squabbling with each other and fighting with each other. Division is something that the enemy is good at. He is skilled at pitting people against each other and groups against each other. Do you remember Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, was described as Satan entering into him? He betrayed Jesus. This was the devil affecting him. Now, he was open to that, and there's all that. But the enemy has a tactic, which is to bring division. The enemy wants to divide the body of Christ, get groups of Christians fighting with each other. How successful has that tactic been over history? Very, very successful. How successful is it today? very, very successful. I think it's getting a little bit better as Christians are wising up just a touch to this, but there's improvements that we can make in being different and united. The devil wants to bring division into the worldwide body of Christ. He wants to bring division into the local church. How successful has the enemy been in bringing division into local churches? How many people are familiar with the term church split? How many people have experienced a church split? It's a painful, painful thing. I'm fortunate. I've never been part of a church split. That's kind of neat. I've been around fairly long. 2 years, I'll be a Christian for 30 years. I'm 28 years in. Isn't that ridiculous? Who'd have thought I'd make it that far? That's pretty cool. But I've never been part of a church split. I've seen difficulties in the local church and that sort of a thing. But where everything just blows up and people are mad at each other and split, man, that's demonic. It's devilish. It's not right. Satan wants to bring division in the family. Pit husband and wife against each other. Parents and children. Brothers and sisters. He wants to bring division. Satan even wants to bring division to us personally as an individual. Bring conflict inside the individual. Where we're torn this way and that. Where we're tempted and we want to push away, but we get pulled. We get a divided spirit. Satan wants to bring division. We need to fight against that. Now, I wish that tactic wasn't so effective, but it's a very, very effective tactic. And it's used more often than just, you know, I mean, the devil knows about it, but it's a tactic that's used fairly often. In fact, the Apostle Paul used this tactic when he had a big riot going on, a bunch of people trying to attack him. You know, the Apostle Paul was very effective. And he had two primary things that he achieved when he went into a town. One was revival, the other was riot. There was revivals and riots, like, wherever he went. It was amazing stuff. We live in a culture where there aren't a whole lot of riots, and I'm thankful for that. You know, we can come in, plant churches, have a nice day, that sort of a deal. Very few riots. But Paul was in a situation where there was a riot coming, and here's what he thought. The crowd wants to kill me. If I can get them arguing with each other, maybe I can sneak out of here. And so we see this in Acts chapter 23, starting in verse 6. Let's jump into this. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, so has division been something that's, you know, been around since 1965? No, this has been around since creation. Division is just part of the deal. There were two primary Jewish groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they were both in this crowd that was attacking Paul. So he knew they were there, and he called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. So his goal was to get them arguing with each other so that he could get some of the heat off of him. And that it didn't work out real great. They still had riot. They had to pull him away from people to keep them from killing him, that sort of a thing. But you can see how this can happen. And the devil is like that. He wants to distract us from him and get us fighting with each other. And when we can fight with each other and hate each other and focus on each other, then we don't even think he's part of the equation. And we're fooled. It's a scheme. It's a tactic. And we need to be smarter than letting him bring division into the church. So let's see why this takes so long. That's the introduction. Let's pray. And we'll get into this topic today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy scriptures. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you don't leave us down here to wander around, do the best we can, but you guide us by your spirit and you guide us by your word. Help us to see what you've got for us today. Help us to grab hold of your truth. Bless our time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Different and united. When I was a new believer, probably 20 years old, 21, I was wanting to figure out, maybe 22, 23, somewhere in there. I was trying to figure out what group to hook up with. And so I prayed and asked God, and I was used to praying and asking God and getting answers. And it was a great time of life. And so I prayed, Lord, tell me who's right. I don't care who's right. I just want to hook up with the group that's right. I don't care if this group, that group, the other group. I was open to anything. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't care. Scared my wife a little bit. She's like, she was worried I'd want to hook up with the wrong group. And so I prayed, God, show me who to connect with. What group is right? And I got an answer, an instantaneous answer. Do you know what that answer was? The answer was simply this. No group is right. There is no perfect group. There is no perfect church. God is perfect. People are messed up. Churches are groups of people. Denominations are groups of people. There's messed up stuff in every group. And so that sort of took the pressure off of me because I didn't have to find the perfect group. I just had to find a group that was sufficient enough to be able to not hinder me in my attempt to serve God. And so now, of course, there are heretical groups, right? Don't hook up with a heretical group. There are groups that do more harm than good. Don't hook up with that. But guess what? There's a lot of groups that are doing the best they can, that are honestly trying to serve God, but they're imperfect. What other options do you have than connecting with imperfect people? You got no other option. To think that we can project the attributes of God, His perfection, onto a pastor, a local church, or a denomination is just unrealistic. People aren't like God. We can be honest and trying the best we can, but we'll make mistakes and that sort of a thing. So connect with the group that is trying and is somewhat effective. That took the pressure off of me, so I chose the Assemblies of God. Not perfect, best I could do. I like the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God is not God, but a nice group to hook up with, an empowering group. I'm finding lots of honest people, lots of people who want to serve the Lord, want to connect with the Holy Spirit, want to grow in their faith, want to make a difference in this world. Hallelujah. Imperfections, sure. I'm happy with the Assemblies of God. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to go from 1 Corinthians to Romans, back and forth. These are books, basically letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to local churches in a town called Corinth and then in Rome. And so let's go back and forth. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament about the church. This is the big capital C worldwide church body of Christ. Also applies to the local body. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. They were having some squabbles. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, does this mean we have to be exactly the same? You might think that when it says perfectly united in mind and thought, thinking we all think the same thoughts, we all act the same way, we all look the same, we get the same mustache, we wear the same clothes, we say the same little catchphrases, that sort of a thing. That's not what this means. because this is 1 Corinthians, the same book that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is in that talks about all the different parts of the body, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. All these different things coming together to work together for a greater purpose. So Paul isn't saying that we all need to be the same, but he's saying we all need to be on the same team. We all need to be serving the Lord with what we've got. Different and united. Perfectly united in mind and thought. Doesn't mean we're the same. It means that we're on the same team. Verse 11. My brothers, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. So what does this mean? Well, Paul is the guy writing this letter. He's the one who started the church in Corinth. Apollos is an important minister who's now the local leader there in Corinth, as far as I can tell. And he's watering. He's the one that's ministering there at the time. Paul is somewhere else. Apollos is there. Some people in the group are saying, I like Paul better than Apollos. Apollos is nice, but he's not as smart. You know, the depth of insight isn't there. Other people are like, you know, Apollos, he's less volatile. He's just a good guy. He's there all the time. He's solid. I don't like Paul. I like Apollos. Other people are saying, you know what, Peter, Cephas is Peter. Now, Paul and Apollos, they're great. I wish Peter was our pastor. He's way better than those two. And somebody else is saying, you know what? All of you looking at humans, I follow Christ. I follow Jesus, you fools. And is looking down on all the other ones. Well, what would the 2016 application of this verse be? Well, it's very simple. I belong to Journey, I belong to Grace, I belong to Good Hope, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Catholic, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Assemblies of God, I'm Vineyard. Associating, you know, and saying, I follow this instead of that, I am this. We are Christians. We are believers in Jesus. We are to walk together. This is division. It's the early seeds of it. Church split hasn't happened yet, but we're looking at breaking into four groups in one congregation. It's dangerous. Let's keep reading a little bit farther. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Spiritually, Christ is not divided. There is one body, one Lord, one baptism. Practically, we have divided Christ. The followers of Jesus have fractured and split and gone their different ways, pointed the finger at each other, and divided Christ. It's a misrepresentation of who God is. Is Christ divided? There is one body. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 4 through 9. I could read from 1 Corinthians, but I want to go to a few different sources. Romans 12, the Apostle Paul here is writing this just like 1 Corinthians, and he's using the analogy of the human body to describe the believers in Jesus locally and across the world. All parts of the same thing. Now, I decided a few weeks ago that I should get in shape for my canoe trip that I was going to take, so I ran around the block. And it went fairly well. So I waited, I rested a day, and I ran around the block again. And that went well, and I thought, I'm going to run around the block twice. So I ran around the block twice. Then I woke up in the morning and oh, did my knee hurt. I was like, that about 10 days, 2 weeks worth of knee pain after running around the block twice. You know, one little thing can cause a significant problem. You know, left arm was fine. Left knee was fine. Right foot was fine. Right hip was fine. Both shoulders were fine. No concussion. But one thing. Little knee problem slowed my whole body down. Romans 12:4 talks about that with regards to the body of Christ, the believers working together. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is a little bit contrary to our wonderful idea of the American individual. Each one belongs to all the others. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. Verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So, we are different by God's design. Amen? We are different. We have different gifts, different abilities by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think something is a deficit and is something that God can use. As a kid, I couldn't read. It was a problem for me. I remember in third grade, my teacher made me stay in from recess and write my name 100 times because I couldn't write my name. Third grade. I could do Mike, but that was it. Then she's like, you need to be able to do Mike Stevens. I'm like, ugh. Just stay in so I could write my name. And I never was real good at spelling. Never was real good at reading. It just wasn't my thing. And when I became a Christian, they're carrying this book around everywhere they go. And so it's about reading this book and learning what's in this book. And man, have you read this thing? There's some stuff in there. It's hard to understand. And so I decided, I want to know what's in here. So I'm going to listen to it on tape. And I listened to the Bible on tape because reading it was just inefficient. It took too long. And one summer, I listened to the whole Bible 3 times, and I listened to the New Testament 10 more times. And that, because I was painting apartments, I just was, you know, just whitewashing apartments, just had that on. And I listened to the Bible 3 times through, the whole Bible, and then 10 more times the New Testament. And it gave me an overview, a broad view of what the Bible is about. When we read it, we tend to focus on an individual verse. We tend to see a detail. When we listen to it, we see a broader picture. And so I was given a broad picture of what the Scripture has to say. And it was an incredible blessing, something that I've benefited from my whole Christian life. What I thought was a deficit that made me different, that I was ashamed of, was something that God used to help me get to this place today. Different. Let's embrace the fact that we're different from each other. Let's be happy about that. We need to embrace the fact that individually we're different. We need to realize that local churches are different from each other. You know, we have things that we do here that some people don't like. They should still go to church somewhere, right? So local churches are different, so people can find a place where they fit. It's important to have differences because there's more to be done than what Good Hope can do. And not just local churches, there's things like Young Life and the Wood City Music Festival and all these things, Parachurch is what you might want to call it, Ruby's Pantry, all kinds of things that need doing that the local church can't do. Different. Embrace the different. We can be different and united. We are different. Individuals are different. Local churches are different. Denominations are different. But we are all united in service to Christ. At least that's how it should be. Maybe there's a few variations in there. But we are to stand together in service to Christ. Now, understand there are differences. We'll talk about this next week. There are differences which are in the disputable matter category, right? Like, we don't believe that the miracles of the New Testament have passed away. We believe they continue. Some churches think, well, that was a special time. Now we're sort of in a spiritually dry time, but we're going to gut it out and make it to the end anyway. I guess that's a disputable matter. What an unfortunate thing to miss those parts of God when we can have a grab hold of them, you know. But that's a disputable matter. Now, if somebody says Jesus isn't really who he said he was, then we got a problem, and that puts somebody outside the group, right? So we need to understand when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about Christian groups. And again, we'll get into that a little bit more next week. Did you know that in this different and united body of Christ, did you know that you belong? I didn't think I belonged because I was different. I went to church. They sang songs. I thought, that's weird. Well, let's talk about God. Why are you singing songs? They'd stand up. I didn't know why. They'd sit down. I was still standing. They would sing a song. I didn't know. I didn't know why they were singing songs. I didn't know what was going on. Then they take an offering, like, hey, man, you know, what are you doing? I'm trying to hear about God. You want money? What, you know, like, what's going on here? You know, I didn't understand what was going on. I would ask questions and people would get mad at me. I mean, it was a weird thing. And I just thought, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on, and I didn't think I belonged. And it was something the enemy used to divide me out and get me alone. You belong. Maybe you're different, like me, but you still belong. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read some verses in there. This is Paul, again, like in Romans, talking about the body and all the different members and they belong to each other. Here he's using that same analogy of all the believers being part of one group, which is the body, and he's likening each individual to different body parts. And it says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So have you thought to yourself, I'm not like that, so I don't belong? What this says is, maybe you're not like that, but that doesn't mean you don't belong. Maybe you don't know all the catchphrases. You know, maybe you say pot luck instead of pot blessing, and then everybody's mad. Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. because I'm not like them. I don't belong. It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Just because you feel like you don't belong doesn't mean you don't belong. Because we all belong if we are followers of Christ, because there's one body. And they belong. Let's go to verse 21. 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So what this is saying is, if you don't want them to belong, you don't get to say they don't belong. Right? So for the believers, if you're a believer, you belong. Don't believe the lie that you don't belong. And if they're a believer, they belong. Don't believe the lie that says they don't belong and try to push them out. We all belong if we believe. We're part of one body. Now this, of course, is messy. You know how when a family comes together, there's friction because different people want to do different things at the same time and people infringe on each other and it gets to be an issue. And this has become part of the church. People rub each other the wrong way. People think things that are off and other people react and different things happen and it gets to be a big problem. But the reality is that there are reasons why we're supposed to learn to forgive. There's reasons why we're supposed to learn to prefer others. There are reasons why, and it's because if we don't, we're not going to be able to function as a group. And God wants to do something special. We need to stand together because God has a plan that can only be done if we stand unified. Wood City Music Festival is a fantastic thing. It costs $70,000 to put on a free festival. And I don't even know how many volunteers. 500? How many volunteers? Hundreds of volunteers. You can't just be like, let's have a music festival. It takes a huge group of people setting aside their differences and coming together for a greater purpose. Is a music festival the most important thing in the kingdom of God? No. It's great. There's a whole lot more we need to do together. And so when we divide, it ruins God's plan. So God's not real big on division. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll get an idea on how unhappy with division God is. I'm going slower than I did last night. I got to get over to Veterans Park, though, so you guys are safe. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm sorry, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Have you heard this? Now, this is different from the verse that says the body, the personal individual body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is all y'all, the group, is the temple. Not a temple, but the temple. Remember, in Old Testament times, there was a temple. And people would go in and come out and they'd have services there and there was a temple. Now the temple isn't a building. It's people. It's a group of people working together. That is the temple. So this, don't you know that you yourselves, that all y'all, that the group is the temple. You are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred. And all y'all are that temple. God doesn't like it when people bring division into the body of Christ. We don't want to bring division. Now, we'll talk about this more next week. How do you help someone get better? Are you just going to, let's all be nice to each other and just let it go? We got to make progress. We got to get good at this. We've got to be able to get wrong stuff out and get good stuff in. You know, we've got to be able to do that. This isn't just saying, just let everything go and let's just let it fly wherever it flies. But there's a different thing between working together to get better versus division. God wants us together because he has a purpose and a plan. I'd love to talk for like several hours on this. Two more verses of scripture or chunks, then we're out of here. How do we go forward different and united? This will be primarily what we'll talk about next week. How do we be different and united? How do we stand strong in what we believe in but not destroy others? How do we do that? First thing is understand that you're part of the whole body of Christ. Back to verse 18 then in 1 Corinthians 3. You're part of the big group. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. Keep going. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. Have you heard these verses before? Some of you have. Do you know what these verses are referring to? They're referring to people in the church arguing about which pastor is better. It's not about, you know, worldly philosophy and that sort of thing. This is about the beginning of denominational separation. Verse 21. So then, no more boasting about men. All are yours. All are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. All are yours. So is Grace Baptist, now Grace Church, is that mine? Do I belong there? Absolutely. Me, fantastic. Me and Pastor Ted, we're brothers. How about Journey? Does that belong to me? Oh, yeah. I should let them know that. How about the Vineyard? Sure. Now, join a group. You know what I mean? Like, you can be in love with softball, but if you don't play on a particular softball team, you're not a softball player. It doesn't mean that you hate all the other teams and they're all evil. You gotta be on a team to be able to get up to bat. That doesn't mean that you divide from one group or another. And then I'm going to invite the prayer teams up. We're going to close. One last verse. So understand, you're part of the big group. You don't really get to say you don't belong to the worldwide body of Christ. If you're a believer, you belong. You might be mad at somebody or think somebody's wrong. We'll understand how to function with that next week. But you belong. All are yours. You don't have to choose. You just belong. Last verse, our closing scripture, Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Each one of us will stand before God. How's that going to go? If I have to stand before God with the good things I've done over here and the bad things I've done over here and just sort of hoping the score works out, I'm in real trouble. Because that's not how it goes. We don't get to balance the scales. to his own master he stands or falls. So you don't answer to me, I don't answer to you. We answer to God. I answer to God, and it says here, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. When I stand before God, I don't stand in my own strength. I stand in Christ. The only reason I'm accepted is because I'm with Jesus. I'm clothed in Christ, forgiven and brought to a place I don't deserve. But this is only for a select group of people. Those who are clothed in Christ, who have called Jesus Lord and Savior, who have endeavored to serve the Lord. If you're in this place and you need to say, yes, Lord, this is the promise that when the day comes, he will make you stand. You will be able to stand before God and be brought in to everlasting life. I'm glad that I don't have to stand before a human court. I am glad that I serve a God who wants to make me able to stand. If you're a believer, rejoice in this. If you've got aught against somebody else, realize they're going to have to stand before God with the thing that you're thinking about. And if you're separated from God, now is the time to pledge your life to Christ, because then we don't have to stand on our own strength, but we stand under Christ. So I'm going to pray a corporate prayer. We'll pray together. Then I'll invite people up to the prayer teams. You can pray with them. When it's time to come for individual prayer, it doesn't matter what the need is. If you want to start a life with Christ, come get prayer. If you got a bad knee because you've been running too much, come get prayer. You got a relationship problem, a financial need, come get prayer. Give God the opportunity to intervene in your life. Let's pray together first. Heavenly Father, praise be to your name. You are good, and you call us into unity, but you call different people into unity, and that can be challenging. Lord, help us to know that in our own imperfections, you are able to make us stand. Thank you, Lord, for that. And help us as we acknowledge other people's imperfections, that they don't stand before us, they stand before you. And Lord, I pray, let us not leave this place without pledging our life to you, knowing that then our sins are taken away, our guilt and shame is gone, our purpose in you is established, and we can grab hold of everlasting life. Lord, let us not miss that moment. And Father, I pray a blessing over each one in this place. Let us walk in your ways. Let your joy fill our hearts. And Lord, let your love overflow through us into this world. Let it be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.